Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hello, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Give us a big, warm welcome for head baseball coach Edwin Thompson of Eastern Kentucky University today. He's here with us, and, you know, in our continuous quest to interview the best of the best, boy, have we got a good guest today, a great guest today, the best guest today. So looking forward to learning all about his journey. He's been the head coach of Eastern Kentucky University for, I think, 3 years now, and he's got he's been a coach in college baseball for 14 years or more. And so we're going to learn a lot. The goal of this show is to really inspire you at whatever level you're at, even if you don't like baseball. I bet there's something here for you today to inspire you to be your best, because you don't get to where Coach Thompson is today without a lot of hard work. So hello, Coach Thompson. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be on your show.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a journey for you. I'm in Maine here. I think a lot of people who listen know that I'm in Maine. And I was really surprised to hear that you're from Maine also. So it was pretty cool. I ran into a friend of yours, and that's how you kind of ended up on the show. But Marcus Ogden is a former NFL guy, and he's coming on the show January 25th. And he said, hey, you know, one of my friends is a head baseball coach at Eastern Kentucky University, and you should have him on your show. And so here we are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, Marcus and I went to school together at Howard University, and I've known him since then, since 1998 when I graduated high school. So it's a small world when you kind of do it that way.
Yeah, it's awesome. So we're going to respect time today. We're going to do 30 minutes with you today, and then if you would like to come on again to the show, I would just absolutely love to have you on, you know, 6 months from now or 8 months from now, because I have this love of baseball coaches and football coaches and all these people who coach, because you guys touch so many lives, and the lives of, I call them kids because I'm almost 50, but, you know, our children are in your hands, and you're touching many, many, many lives through your baseball academy, through your coaching, and all this wisdom. So it's important. I'd love to have you on again if you have more time, but we're going to go 30
yeah,
minutes
absolutely.
Today. Okay, and okay. So what I'd love to do with the show is take you all the way back to you as a kid. Have
sure.
you always loved baseball? Like, take you back to
yeah.
your, like, five-year-old self. Can it go to kindergarten
yeah.
for me, even?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, I grew up in Maine. So for those that I'm born in Virginia, but my family moved up to Maine. And, you know, my family was a football family. My dad played football, was a Hall of Famer at Delaware State University. Both my brothers played college football. And so, you know, growing up at a younger age, it was football. But, you know, really I started, I think, you know, my mom playing wiffle ball in my backyard, coming home from school at times. And that's kind of when I started my love. And then when the Red Sox lost in 86, that was kind of a tough, tough moment at the time for me. But I really started to love the passion when I started watching players like Ricky Henderson of the Oakland A's. And just loved how he played the game. And I said, I want to do that. Ozzie Smith and players like that for me. And I just fell in love. And I think probably around 5, 6, 7, 8, I said I wanted to be in baseball, professional baseball. You know, major leaguers was my dream. And obviously, you know, coming from a small town, mill town of Jay, Maine, it was, you know, people are like, okay, that sounds great. But, you know, what's the reality of that? How that's going to work? So growing up, I played four sports, sometimes as many as I could. I think there was a time in middle school where I played football for my town, soccer for my middle school, basketball for my town. I skied for my middle school, and I did baseball and track because there's, you know, first. So I did six sports, and I grew up in a roller skating rink. That's what our family business was. So I really had a great perspective of a lot of sports, and I think that sometimes gets lost today in young kids. But for me, it was baseball was my love and it was my passion. And I was fortunate enough to play in high school, which not everyone gets a chance to do, and I had a great coach, and Coach Chris Bessie was my high school baseball coach. Just encouraged me, never said, you know, yeah, I wanted to play Division One. I wanted to play professional baseball, and he never said no, and he just kind of supported. And I had a great support system of other coaches as well along the way, and it was just it was a lot of fun. And I got a chance to get a scholarship to go play at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and it was really a great chance for me. I'm going from J. May in my first college game with Arizona State University, and I think I went 0 for 6, and I made a couple of errors, and my dad was like, well, you can't get any worse from here. So that was kind of, you know, my dad was tough love, and it was one of those moments where I was like, this is a lot harder than I thought. But, you know, to get to the point of college, you know, growing up in Maine, you know, the season's so short, and you know, I had a little tee in my basement. After basketball games, I'd make sure I get so many swings in every day. And no matter what I was doing throughout the year, I was always trying to get better from a baseball standpoint. And then once I got to college, you know, it was very humbling. You know, it was very good players, and it was you know, I played Class C baseball, which is a smaller class, and you know, and it was overwhelming at times. But once I got settled in, I felt that I could play with anybody. You know, the confidence grew, and then my work ethic kind of, you know, caught up, and I got bigger, and which helped. And then from there, I kind of bounced around for a couple colleges for different reasons. But I played at University of Maryland because Howard dropped baseball, so I was finishing up my freshman sophomore year, and they ended up dropping baseball, so I had to find a new school to go play, and I transferred over across town to University of Maryland, and played there for a year and a half. And you know, it wasn't a situation. It was at the time I had to do some things, and then up down at Weber University down in Florida, and you know, and my dream of the whole time was still to play professional baseball. And so once I finished playing for school, we had a great year. You know, we were top 25 in our league and got a chance to play actually independent ball in Maine, which was probably the best experience, reaching a dream, reaching that, you know, making that phone call to my mom and my brothers and letting them know that I made, you know, I'm getting paid to play, and just kind of sense of accomplishment of all the work and sacrifices that, you know, my family had to make and everybody. So it was really quite the journey to get to that point. And then it was another humbling experience, you know, of playing professional baseball and realizing that, you know, maybe make it to the big leagues may not be in my card. So that's kind of when I first started getting into coaching during that off season. So my first year of 2003, and it was just, you know, I was trying to make some money initially, but then my love for coaching kind of started.
Can I bring you back to one thing that you said that struck a chord for me that I just want to point out to people? You said, I was fortunate to play in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Do people realize how fortunate they are to play in high school? Because isn't there like a significant drop off when you go from like little league to middle school to high school?
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit? Because that
sure.
struck
me.
I'm like, fortunate to play in high school. No, there's not.
Yeah.
There's something I wonder if a lot of people think about.
Yeah, I mean, it started for me. I got cut as a sixth grader in middle school, and that was the toughest point in my life where I was like, baseball is all I knew, and you know, my buddies were made the team. I didn't make the team, and I was so crushed. And I said, this is not going to happen again. So, you know, I set a goal next year to make my middle school team. And then that seventh, eighth grade, I did that. And then I said, I wanted to make varsity baseball as a freshman, which it's very hard to do in most programs. And, you know, we had a good team. And so the numbers drop off. I think the numbers that are playing from their freshman, from little league to their senior year, I mean, it's only about 100,000 or a couple hundred thousand kids around the country. So it's hard. And then to not only to start, you know, as a freshman, but to finish your senior year, I think we started off maybe had 12 kids. And in my senior year, we may only had two or three of kids that actually finished baseball their senior year. So it's a privilege and it's an honor. You know, kids sometimes think that they, you know, they want to play in the big leagues. Well, they got to make their high school team. They got to be the best player for your high school team, and then, you know, to play in college, you know, on some level. So, yeah, it was a lot of work just to get to make it to my high school team, and I was happy to make the varsity team. And then, you know, each time I set another goal to try to reach up the next level, try to start, be a starter, and then try to be the best player in my team and then the league. So, you know, each stop along the way, I've always had, you know, I always have goals that I have, and I still have them. You know, I was moving recently, and I found a few of them, and I always write them down and sign my name because I want to own it. And, you know, so it's good. Now, I wasn't scared to tell people, too, that I wanted to play professional baseball. I would tell people, my teachers, I'd write about it. You know, so I let them know, and I was one that I wasn't scared to say, well, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to find a way to get it done. And that's always been my mentality, to let, you know, to not only write it down and own it myself, but also to say, hey, people that are my support system, this is my plan of action to get there. Because a lot of people can talk about it, but you got to have action behind that to reach those goals. So.
No. I had another coach on a few weeks ago, Coach Durba from the University of Maine, and now this is the second time I'm hearing, like, own it, like, own that written piece of paper, whatever's on it. And for him, it was his signature, somebody, a coach or something, and I think it was in high school or middle school even for him, said, you know, if you're going to sign your name, sign it like you mean it, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but he talked about a lot about goals, too, and writing them down and, you know, all the importance of goals. So I really like that. And I hope people heard what you said because it's insight into success.
Sure.
And we're the Best Ever You Show, so we're trying to help people be as successful as they can be. And that's huge right there. So you not only had goals, that you had them in mind, but you wrote them down, you signed your name to them, and you told people about them.
Yeah, and I revisit them. You know, I think, you know, like there's always that theory of, you know, you can't eat an elephant all at one time, which I kind of relate it to when I talk to my players, because they don't know about an elephant, how sometimes they just, I talk to them if they're going to go to a buffet, you know, you can get all the food you want, but you got to kind of break it down slow so you don't get stuffed up and only get one or two plates. So that, because that's 18 to 22-year-old players, they eat a lot of food. So, you know, when you have goals, you want to set up, you know, weekly goals, daily goals, monthly goals, 3, 6 months, and a year goals is kind of how I've always done it. And just kind of attack those goals. And, you know, if that's being, you know, for me, I want to be a better math student. You know, I needed to work at it. You know, and if you want to be a better, you know, whatever it is, you have to work at that, you know, with an intent of achieving that goal.
How do you, let me phrase this right. This might come out choppy, so pardon it. But, you know, when somebody's got raw talent and they just
mm-hmm.
are, how do you take someone who has raw talent and then refine and add to it to make them be even better? Somebody who's always already really good, and then that
sure.
next level. There's a real fine separation I'm noticing mm-hmm. between what makes people really excel.
Sure. Yeah, I think the short answer, the best answer, I think, in my experience, and like I said, there's no right answer. This is 14 years in of trial and error. The one thing is, if you have a good player and has some really talent, you know, one, you don't want to mess that up. but then, you know, that's the best coaching you can do, is kind of step back a little bit and let them kind of take their talents and kind of help you become a great coach, so to speak. But what you want to do is evaluate each individual. I take every player, and they're all different, and they learn differently. And so then I just kind of assess what the limitations are. You know, where can they get better? What areas can they? Because everyone always talks about how good they are or this. And I'm one that kind of says, I kind of try to be honest and open and direct and say, okay, you right now you're a good player at this part, but this part of your game is not where it needs to be. So let's work at this part of the game, continue to enhance your other part, but then really try to focus on the things that don't. And I think it's a fine line, like you said, because you don't want them to overthink things. And I've been fortunate to have some really good players and some really smart players, and sometimes they overthink. I'm a very simple person. I kind of keep things very basic. You know, when I was coaching middle school basketball, a lot of the same philosophies and principles I use now, and just it keeps it able to connect with each player. So just want to find what makes them work, and then you can kind of take some of their limitations and try to take them to the strengths.
Yeah. I noticed I've met you once before at a camp, just briefly, but
mm-hmm.
so I haven't really talked to you all that much or anything like that ever. What I notice about you, you use the word humble, and you are a person who I can read your achievements off here. The guys, everybody listening, they're on the radio show. It's posted with the show. There's a lot of things Coach Thompson has done here, including like GP, you know, helped the team get a, well, the kids do it, but, you know, you do too, the team GPA of 3.1 every, you know, semester, GPAs for the whole team 3.0 or higher. You're on the American Baseball Coaching Association Ethics Committee. You have 100% graduation rate of players that aren't playing professional baseball. During their time at EKU, you've won volunteer things. You were starting pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. You've got All Americans. You've got MLB guys. I mean, I could go on and on and on, really. But you know, I don't hear you going, "Yep, I did that. I'm so cool," you know, kind of thing. What I notice is a really quiet, humble attitude. Where does that come from? Why are you like that? And is that something teachable to other people?
Good question. Short end, real quick, my former pitcher is a starting pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, Marcus Stroman. That's not me. So.
Oh, I thought it was you. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I moved that. Okay, sorry, yeah.
No, yep, no worries.
Still cool, whoever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, well, it's one of my former players, so that's kind of helped
it,
him a
sorry.
Little bit. But, you know, the being humble, I think it comes – I have a great upbringing. I had two amazing parents. I had two brothers that were I looked to, and I had a great support system. Then, you know, at the end of the day, I was taught at a young age that you respect everybody for who they are, not what they are or what they have. And I think that's always been my approach to life is to really – you know, no matter, I've had some great accolades, but ultimately it's not about me. It's always about my players. It's about my great assistant coach that I've had. I've had, you know, great support administration. So a lot of the things are kind of take care of themselves. But to be humble, I think you can have certain things that you've done in your life, but that doesn't what defines me as a person. So I always kind of think that's my job, and I love my job. I have a passion for my job. And I love being a coach and impacting young people. That's why I got into it. And so along the way, I've had some great success, and those are things, but a byproduct of all the foundation that I've had growing up. And I think that's really just kind of kept me grounded. And I think, you know, I have a great support system at home. I have an amazing wife and who keeps me grounded all the time, and I have great friends. And so being humble is just is what I know. And, you know, my parents, we were – very simple and humble people. And my dad was a Hall of Famer, and he could have done some cool things and said all these things. My mom was an amazing teacher, was an amazing teacher for 30 years. And, you know, they just went about the business and treated people with respect. And I think, you know, that was kind of what I saw. And so my environment really prepared me to have the position I am today. And it was really, I'm fortunate to have that. And so I think being humble is just taking appreciation to the process and the journey, whatever that is for each individual person. So my journey has been, I'm very humbled, and, you know, I'm the only Division I head coach from Maine, you know, so I'm defining the odds in a lot of different ways. And so I'm just thankful and grateful for opportunity. And I think in life, if you take advantage of the opportunity and you do the best that you can, you know, no matter what the result is, you can feel good about it. So that's kind of how I've always been.
All right. As you're talking, I have questions stacking up in my head here. But I wanted to talk about keeping going with the humble thing. Isn't it fun when you meet somebody that you really admire? Like, say it's one of your guys who plays in the MLB now or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're not a disappointment to meet. Like, they've taken the time, like, with you. I think of all these little kids who come up for autographs and things like that, and sometimes people will find them and sometimes they won't. It's situational, and I get it and everything like that. But it is so fun for me, even as an adult, to meet people and meet an idol or somebody you just really respect and have them be humble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I mean,
cool.
I think that's the, you know, for me, when I was at a young age, and my teachers can vouch for this, I probably on the back of my papers signed my autograph more than anybody that in the history of my coming up to the school, because I wanted to have my signature perfect. So when I got that chance for a kid to ask me for my autograph, which I was a big autograph collector, and anytime a player that I liked would give me an autograph, I thought it was the best thing. And I was, and you know, and now to this day, I make sure our players and myself, we make sure that we sign every autograph for any kid that wants it, win or lose. And I think that shows that character. When things don't go well, you're still going to sign autographs. And I remember when I played professionally, I got, you know, and I was a hometown guy, if you will. I was playing in Maine, and I was getting paid to play. But so I would talk as many autographs as I could, because I was appreciative of somebody saying, "Hey, I want your autograph." And, you know, so I was fortunate to have that, but it's very good. And like for me, for that moment, I guess I had I worked at Duke University, and I don't know if you know Coach Macaulay Palumbo, who's from Maine, from Brunswick, who's the head women's basketball coach. kind of took me under her wing and was a mentor to me. And was I just was so thankful for her time to, you know, to look out for me for as another Mainer, but also, I mean, she's so, you know, a special, like a high-end coach, one of the top coaches in women's basketball, the Division One, and so for her to take time. So that was like a moment for me. It's like, no matter, you know, she was, you know, she's Coach P, she's, you know, at Duke and done all these things in Final Fours and championships when she used to coach at Maine. And so I've seen her and watched her. So people like that in my life, I'm just, you know, how can I not be humble? And because I've, you know, I'm fortunate and grateful for my stuff, the things you listed, but at the end of the day, I'm just the same person that I was when I graduated high school at Jay High School in 1998. And I think that hasn't changed, and because I just want to be me. And if people like me, that's great. And if they don't, that's okay too. So I always focus on the ones that love me and care about me.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So 14 years coaching. So we've got 4 at UMaine Farmington, 2 at Bates, which is a great D3 school here in Maine, 2 years at Duke, 3 years at Georgia State, and now in your 3rd year as head coach at EKU, or Eastern Kentucky University. What comes to mind for me is, what are your goals? I'd love to have some insight into what you're thinking as far as goals for, you know, Eastern Kentucky University, if you have goals of, like, coaching in the MLB, or, I mean, what are you thinking?
Sure. You know, I'm always a person, I'm where my feet are, and I think that's number one. I never, you know, when I was at University of Maine at Farmington, and, you know, I made that my dream job. And every job that I've had since then, I've been fortunate to have great people around me, great support. So I've always looked at the now. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not here, today is here. So each day is a new challenge, each day is a new opportunity to improve. But my goals are simple. Every day, I want to be the best father, best husband that I can be, best son, best brother. You know, I'm a person and human first. And then from a coaching standpoint, you know, I want to give the maximum energy, you know, every single day. My players always joke, they're like, Coach, you know, how do you not drink coffee? You have so much energy. And I mean this, I wake up with life, you know, my passion is my alarm clock. And those are things that I genuinely, it shows out when I talk to my players and I recruit players. And so I really love impacting young people. And you know, when I first started this back in, you know, when I was 23, 24, and I started coaching, I just wanted to impact young people and to help them reach their goals. And if that's want to be a doctor, be a doctor. If that's want them to strive to be the best baseball player, that's awesome too. And that's a bonus, but most of them don't always make it. So my goals are simple: to make sure that I am give the best energy I can every day to help each individual and hold them accountable. I think a lot of times kids aren't held accountable. And I think being held accountable when things go well or don't go so well, that's okay too. And so daily goals, but, you know, graduating our players, you know, making sure they're good men, they're good people. And then the baseball or the goals are always going to be, you know, qualify for a champion conference tournament, win a championship, go on a run in the NCAA tournament. You know, those are always goals. But I think each day getting better and try to be a better team and better person from the start to finish of our season. If we can do that, we can look back at our journey and we can really say, well, what did we just accomplish? And yeah, sometimes, you know, the reality of my job is I'm judged on wins and losses, and that's how I provide for my family. But at the end of the day, you know, my success is when 5-10 years from now, kids are going to call me and say, Coach, you impacted my life. You know, you helped me out along the way. You helped me get into law school. You helped me get into med school. And so that's my goal, and my goals are there. And so individually, you know, that's what I want. I want to be, you know, the best at what I do, no matter where I'm at and how I'm going at. But as far as coaching at the next major leagues or things like that, I'm very happy where I'm at. I'm very fortunate to have a great president and administration to support what I do and have a great staff and great players. So it's a great place where I'm at.
So can you talk a little bit more about do you say EKU or Eastern Kentucky University? Which one do you
EKU. Yeah,
EKU. EKU, okay. Because that's kind of what's going on in my head, and that's the way I see it a lot. How has the program changed since when you arrived to now? And can you talk about your coaching staff, some key players, you know, just give us a rundown on baseball.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think we've been very fortunate. You had it earlier about having some really talented players. Well, I've had back-to-back players that have been conference player of the year and had 2 players lead the country in home runs in Division I the back-to-back year. So that made me a really good hitting coach. So I didn't really mess them up too much. We had some amazing individual success. We haven't had the team success, you know, in a way. We've had the most wins back-to-back years in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. You know, obviously we haven't made the postseason, so that's kind of a goal for us this year. We have a lot of returning players. We have a kid named Alex Holderback who's, you know, going to be a preseason all-conference type player. We have a four-year senior, and our center fielder, Danny McFarland, has a chance to be a really good player, a chance to play professional baseball. You know, we have a few pitchers that have done some really good things. And I think, you know, for me, from the baseball standpoint, that's always been the easiest part to coach. I think we've changed the mindset and the culture since we've gotten there as a staff to have, you know, like I said, we've had 11 semesters in a row of a 3.0, which I'm very proud of. We just had a 3.2 team GPA in the fall. So 28 out of my 36 players had over a 3.0. And I think that's a lot about the players, but my coaching staff, we all have individual players, and we have got biweekly meetings to make them, you know, check in on how they're doing. Because at the end of the day, they're going to be – it's a 40-year decision when you come to college, so it's not just coming to play baseball. It's going to be what are you going to do after baseball? At some point, you're going to put the bat and the ball down. So we changed that. We last year, we did over 1,000 hours of community service, which that helps them develop as a person. So I think those areas are the biggest that I'm proud of that we've changed. And I think this year, being my third year, I'm excited, hopefully, to turn a corner from the wins and losses on the field, which I think will be, the foundation is really where we need to be.
Yeah. You talked about there was a pivotal moment in your life where you changed to coaching. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I'm old, you know, I'm a mom of four boys, you know.
Sure.
I've seen my own kids cut from everything, seen just everything. You know, you think you've seen it all, but you haven't really. But what I always stress is, you know, at some point, there is really going to be a point where maybe you aren't an athlete, and what are you going to do? And for some people, that might be years from now. For some people, it might not be. And so it's of concern sort of for me, like as a parent, for example, or just seeing, you know, just hearing and seeing and being around it a little bit. You know, you just see it more and more where people are very aggressively athlete and they forget about the student part or what they're going to do in the future. And you don't want to – it's a squishy line because you don't want to dream squash either. So how do you deal with that? And, I'm far from a dream squasher. I'm like, you go for it. Like if I had been one of your teachers in high school and you said you wanted to do whatever you're going to do, it's like, heck yeah, go for it. And how can I support you? And I think you're that way too. But there was a moment where you realized, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this instead, and I'm going to be quiet. But can you talk about that and kind of – add everything in there that I'm kind of chiming in about too, because it's a huge deal.
Yeah, it is. And I think nobody wants to hear no. Nobody wants to hear that, you know, you didn't make the team or you didn't get the job or you didn't get the promotion. I mean, I think nobody, it's just human nature. I mean, I think everyone wants to hear yes. And so I've been very fortunate. I think I told you my dad and my family was very tough and tough love, but they would say no sometimes. And I think And they would say, okay, here's if you want to do this, here's how you have to do this. And no one's going to give you anything in life. And I think for me, sometimes some people, you know, always say, you know, live with regrets. When I finished, I got released in 2004 from playing in minor league baseball. I was crushed. I mean, that was all I knew at the time. It's all I wanted to do. And I just really, you get humbled. And so it goes back to that humble part. When they say no, then you say, okay, well, what's next? What team is going to pick me up next? And then but then you start to kind of, I remember I had a 2-hour drive home. I'll never forget this. I drove home from Bangor, Maine, from spring training, and I didn't know where to go. I just went back to the place that I was comfortable, which was my high school. And I went on the baseball field, and they had practice probably around 3:00, and I got there around 1:00. And I was just on the mound, and I never forget, I was just cleaning the mound, organizing, you know, helping the field up, just kind of like I normally would if I was, you know, playing, but my high school coach, Chris Bessie, came out and he's like, what are you doing? You know, I thought you had practice or, you know, spring training. He's like, no, I just got released. And, you know, that was kind of a tough moment to tell my high school coach who, you know, supported me, came to see me play. But that was a moment where he also said, he's like, well, you want to help out? And I just kind of turned the corner and I was like, yeah. And that was comforting. And so for me, my gift and my passion was to, okay, right now I'm in a tough moment. I just, you know, it's very prideful. I'm going to help out somebody else, maybe reach their dream. And so for me, that was a moment where I was like, okay, And then once I got into it, because I already had that experience coaching in the wintertime, but that spring I really kind of springboarded my passion for coaching, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I think so, you know, it's okay to hear no. And, you know, I think over my course of my career, I've heard no about 100 or more times in interviews or even applications before I got a handful of yeses. And so, you know, in life, you can't assume. There's certain jobs that I applied for that I thought I could get because, you know, hey, I was here or there. But for me, I think finding that passion, whatever that is for anybody out there, just go for it, because once you find it, I don't go to work. I have things in my job that's work related, but in there, I'm a baseball coach coaching 18 to 22 year olds, helping them reach their dreams of obviously playing professional baseball, but being a successful person in life. And so that period of time was a very big part of my life. And so from there to now, it's been an amazing journey, and, you know, it's been kind of a fun ride to look back at it. It's funny at times, but it's been awesome.
Thank you very much. We're running out of time, but thank you so much for sharing that, because, you know, it's an element of vulnerable, and I don't know if you wanted to go there or not, but I think
that's right
there will help so many people, because it's a majority of people that are in that spot at some point, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that applies to, like, everything in life.
Sure.
When you're doing something and it doesn't quite work out and you're like, where do I go next? I love how you handled that situation, and I think that that's a real teachable thing for people listening. And we have a very young audience, too, that listens to Best Ever You, so I hope everybody heard that. And I may take parts of this show and transcript them out so that you can read it also, and so it's on the Internet, if you don't mind. Are you okay with me doing that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I want to help out anybody. I think that's what it's about.
Yeah, I think that's key. And I think, too, that you're the type of person that if somebody is at that moment, they could just even reach out to you, and you could direct whether they know you or not.
Reach out. I mean, people always say that I'm kind of a life coach at times. I mean, obviously being a baseball coach, you get a wide range of experiences with 18 to 22 year olds of life. And I think no matter what the situation, I try to just look at each individual and just try to help them out no matter what it is or where they're from. So people different times reach out to me from different all. So anytime you want to help out, stuff's all public on the Internet. So I'm more than welcome to reach out if you need a help or a question or anything.
And what's your Twitter handle again? So, because a lot of people are on Twitter.
Sure.
Do you know?
I think that's a good it's EKU Coach T.
Okay, perfect. And I'll make sure that's with the show and everything. Thank you so much. What a cool story of how you got to where you are. So inspirational. And thank you for teaching us a lot about baseball. I'm sorry for screwing up the Toronto pitcher thing.
That's
I got
all right.
it now.
No,
I have to move a space back to fix that in the show title, in the show description.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. I got that wrong. But anyway,
pitcher,
I'll fix that so it's right. And thank you so much for your time. And good luck to you guys. Good luck to your team, your coaching staff, everybody. Wish you the best of luck in your season and your postseason, everything that you're going to do this year, because that's a huge goal, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. We'll be there in postseason. That's our goal. So
awesome.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for all the listeners out there. And like I said, if I can ever help, reach out via Twitter or anything like that. Love to help. So thanks again.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And it's kind of cool. We're going to be back next Thursday with Marcus Ogden. So, hey, you know, we got friends shows coming up here. And so I'm really excited about that. I love it when we have athletes and coaches and these people who operate at this highest, best self level and then have the ability to articulate some of the things that they do to help us be successful. Like, I loved the part where Coach Thompson talked about how he deals with goals. Because a lot of people kind of go through life in motion, and they may or may not have goals. And he was talking about how he not only has goals, but he writes the goals down, he signs his name, and then he also verbalizes those goals with other people, which I think is huge. I've always said that, because if you have a goal and nobody knows about it, sometimes it takes a lot of people to help you reach that goal and a huge support system. And so I think verbalizing goals is huge. And so anyway, lots of insight there, and thank you, Coach Thompson, for being with us. That was Coach Thompson. He's the head baseball coach of Eastern Kentucky University. He's been a college coach for 14 years now. He's from Maine, which is really cool, from Jay, Maine. And we just thank him so much for his time, and thank you so much all for listening. The Best Ever You Show has your support when you listen and share the show. We don't do any advertising. We're all grassroots. We're at about 3.5 million downloads now. So keep sharing the love. And if you have somebody that you want me to interview and bring here as a guest to share their story, just let me know. I'm on Twitter, at Best Ever You. That's Y-O-U at the end of that, so Best Ever You. And I'd be more than happy to bring on your friends, your family, whoever you think is doing something inspirational that helps other people be their best. I'm all about it. So, all right, take care, everybody. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.